good evening, and as usual, we go straight into a round which brings in Dave Lee on the piano. This is the round where members of each team sing a song taking alternate words. Now, if you make a mistake, I shall make you start again faster. So we'll start with you, Tim and Bill. Here are your words, and you're going to sing, accompanied by Dave Lee at the piano, Chirpy, Chirpy Cheep. Dave.
I had
look, I was singing. I've lost my voice. I've got a bad throat.
Oh,
no, but
it was all coming through.
Another sick comic.
It was
right.
It wasn't picked up on these rotten BBC mics. It's not my fault. I was singing perfectly loudly then.
Yes. Dave, I think we might take that one a little bit slower, shall we? Your team putting in a plea of cruelty. All right, then, do it again faster.
Oh.
That's
it. I hope you play it. Last night I heard my mama singing a song.
Very good.
Rotten.
I'll give you the marks later on.
What a silly song.
Barry and Graham, you have a rather more intellectual song to do. This one is Nobody Loves a Fairy When She's 40.
It's not true, I tell you.
Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40. Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40. She may still have a magic power, but that is not enough. They like their bit of magic from a younger bit of.
Right. You broke down in the middle, you'll have to do it again quite considerably faster, because I think that was a bit easy for you.
Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40. Nobody loves a fairy when she's 40. She may still have a magic power, but that is not enough. They like that bit of magic from a younger bit of.
Okay. I think we'll finish that one there. Because I want to tell you the marks. And we go on to the next round. The next round is, it's not really a round. This is where I introduce a round that's played, in fact, at the end of the program. It obviously gives the teams time to think of silly names for people arriving at the clothier's ball. Right.
Clothier's ball.
Now we have It's a round called Garble, and in this round I give each team a situation to improvise, but the improvisation must be in garble. There must be no recognisable words. There's been a certain amount of cheating in the past in this, and it'll be very strict. If I recognise a word, watch out. We start with Graham and Barry. Your situation on which you have to improvise is an Indian prince explaining to a Texan guest how to kill a tiger with your bare hands.
Muckle, 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 muckle.
Right, I should have told you in the audience that the master rely on your applause. But to tell you on his truth, with Bill Oddie in the throes of pneumonia playing for sympathy, I don't trust you to do that, so I shall do the marking instead. And Tim and Bill, it's your round now. And your situation is an Irish writer and raconteur seeking employment in a Chinese laundry. An Irish writer and raconteur seeking employment in a Chinese laundry. Right, well, I recognize three English words and about 18 Chinese words. Nevertheless,
sideways.
I think that yours is probably the best of the two, so that puts you slightly ahead. And now we come to the next one, which is called Bedtime Story. This is a round which we haven't had before. And in this round, I want one of the members of each team, in turn, to make up a bedtime story. From time to time, he'll give his partner a signal for a suitable sound effect to reinforce the dramatic effects of the narrative. For extra excitement, the person doing the effects will be wearing headphones padded with cotton wool to prevent him from hearing the story. Tim Brooke Taylor, you're going to start this one. And Bill, you're going to do the sound effects. So will you come out and apply the headphones, please? Your story, Tim, must involve a giant and a white mouse.
Once upon a time, long, long ago, little Ben, there was a huge giant, and his name was Rumble Bumblebow. You could always tell when Rumble Bumblebow was on his way because he made a noise like this. He was a sad giant because always he'd wanted to go fee, fi, fo, fum. But every time he went, or he went, look, 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 One day he was sitting on a rock. Well, when I say a rock, it was a mountain, in fact, but to him it was a rock. And up came a little white mouse. A little white mouse, name was Gertrude. Funny, because it was a male white mouse. And the male white mouse said to the giant, the giant caught the train of thought. And said, is your name Gertrude? And Gertrude said, yes, how did you guess? And he said, because I've read this story before. And then the giant turned around and stamped on the little white mouse, and the little white mouse went, "Oh!" That's that story.
Okay, very good. Tim and Bill. Now, Graham and Barry, which of you... Barry, you're going to do the sound effects, I believe.
Am I? No.
Graham, will you start your story involving Father Christmas and a dragon?
It was the night before Christmas, and Father Christmas was getting his sleigh ready to take all the presents to the children. He got all the reindeers outside, and he shouted, "Hello, reindeers!" And they all cried, "Bleak!"
Of himself, Father Christmas went on with the story.
He got into the sleigh for a test drive. Off he went into the sky. The wind whistled and the thunder roared and the snow all around him. He didn't know snow could do that, but well, he was wrong. Then he saw a chimney up ahead of him. And he thought, I'll just pop down here and see if I still fit. So he landed his reindeer in the sleigh. This is a great one. He landed his reindeer in the sleigh, got down the chimney, and suddenly a great blast of flames and smoke flew up the chimney, and Father Christmas cried, with remarkable self-control. Leaping from the roof and peering through an upstairs window, he saw that there was no fire in the grate, but breathing up the chimney was a young dragon. The young dragon turned and saw Father Christmas at the window and exclaimed, "Well, that's the trouble with dragons, no sense of humor." So Father Christmas climbed in through the window and went up to the dragon, take him to task for burning his defense. "What do you think you were doing?" said Father Christmas. "I'm sorry," said the dragon. And at that moment, the house shook as they heard, One of Santa's fairy helpers is shaking the house to draw his attention. "What's the matter? What's the matter?" said Father Christmas. "It's simple," said the fairy helper. "Listen to this."
And they all lived happily ever after. That was Barry and Graham very slightly in the lead. And we come to the next round, which is our Calypso round. This is the round when each team has to improvise a Calypso, with the members of each team taking alternate lines, and assistance is provided, of course, by Dave Lee at the piano. Now, first of all, Tim and Bill, will you give Graham and Barry the topic for their Calypso, please?
Yeah. You know what? Topic for Graham and Barry's Calypso this week is the commercial radio Calypso. The commercial radio Calypso.
Oh, I'm going to sing in a minute. I want to know, I join me if tomorrow. No, 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 it's getting to me. I woke up this morning, I shouted hip hooray. A commercial radio is here to stay. But you can't advertise on the BBC.
Colgate toothpaste works wonders for me.
Your turn to give a subject to Tim, Brooke Taylor, and Bill Oddie.
And their subject is the stock exchange.
Don't be silly.
The stock exchange Calypso.
Over in the stock exchange, with great excitement as the news breaks that Barry and Graham have shot into an even longer lead. As we go on to the next round, which is our sound charades. One team, as you know, has to guess the title of a book, play, or whatever, from the noises made by members of the opposing team. The audience can help here by applauding when they get applaud when they're getting warmer, and hiss when they're getting colder. And Tim and Bill, I think we'll start with you on this one. Is yours a book, a play, or a what?
The film.
Film.
Film. Okay, here one for you at home is Misty Voice with the title of the film.
Last Tango in Paris. Last Tango in Paris.
Oh, that one.
Oh. Right.
You need a clue. All right.
How many words, Bill?
Oh, well.
Four.
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 You're doing how many?
Memories.
We're doing it all together.
Doing it all together.
I wish you were home to join in.
Okay.
We were going to do this one, weren't
okay,
we?
Okay, Tim and Bill, do your charade.
Bien tout.
Dame, gentlemen, please. Bonsoir.
Yeah.
In unison.
Yeah.
The Great Wall.
No. The last. Tango in Paris.
Ah! The old master.
You guessed it when I took my trousers off, didn't you?
Okay, well, we've got one more from Graham and Barry. Personally, I think this next one's a little bit too similar to the last one, but still, we'll carry on with it.
You mean it's the same?
Is this a film, a play, or what?
Television connections.
Television connections, right? Here is for those of you listening at home, is the Misty Voice. For the last time, to tell you the title.
This is Fortnite with Coleman.
Right. Barry and Graham, how many words?
Three.
And you're doing it in how many seconds?
All together.
All together. Doing it all together. All right. Yeah. Where you go?
Want it up? Where do you want it?
Drop your bags over there.
Right. Oh, you're a cracker, isn't you? Whoa. 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 Yeah, where do you want the nutty slack? Oh, you got it yet?
Coleman. Sports night with Coleman.
Morning,
love. I've got to tell you.
Yeah, it is.
The nutty slack threw me.
Yeah.
That must be an old joke.
Jim and Bill have made an amazing recovery in that round, but are still lagging by 30 marks. Now we have a round called Make a Noise. In this round, I want each of you to make a noise. Bill Oddie. Jim Brooke Taylor. Barry Brown. Glenn Garden.
Got it.
Good. On form tonight, team. Now we have the ad-lib poem, and this is where the members of each team are going to make up a poem. Each team member must keep going until I press the buzzer, and then a member of the opposing team takes over. I shall bring the poem to an end in the event of tilt, total breakdown, or when an artistic conclusion is reached. Right, we'll start one now from you, Tim. I'll give you a first line. This one, this one is set in the West Country. Come Martin Mass to a frosty bee if the east wind do blow.
Did you say? Could you repeat that, please, Hans?
I don't think so. Come Martin Mass to a frosty bee if the east wind do blow.
Come Martin Mass to a frosty bee.
Frosty?
It's so wonderful.
A frosty bee, it's something... Oh, I've forgotten the
word. If the east wind do blow,
I've got a thing to tell you, lads.
And it's something. It's going to snow.
It's going to snow. But no, because
the sky has all gone black. And if you look up there in the heavens, don't do that, please, Jack. The nimbus and the cumulus have come together at last.
Yes.
Oh, you know to say nimbus and cumulus coming together. I've come together at last. And if you look through yonder window, you feel an icy blast. Because it's snowing now, and soon it'll snow some more. It'll snow upon the roof, and then snow upon the floor. It'll snow on me, it'll snow on me. It'll snow on all of us here, and with a bit of luck.
I can't hear a thing, it just snowed down my ear.
Well, we can't improve on that one, and that maintains your lead, Tim and Bill. But it's still time for you to catch up, whoever you are. But, we come to the late rivals. This is the point in the program where sit back and allow the teams to give their announcements for the arrivals of the Clothier's Ball. Who's going to start?
Ladies and gentlemen, will you welcome to the Clothier's Ball Mr. and Mrs. Nat E. Pinstripe and their dog Tooth Check.
Well, pity about that.
I was hoping it would be.
Pretty welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Sheen and their industrious mother, Sewing Ma Sheen.
Right on, Greg.
And an old friend, and accoutrement, Mr. and Mrs. Jockstrap and their son, who is Nicholas. Followed by Mr. Runt and his wife, Runt. That's it.
Mr. and Mrs. Bowtie and their dandified son with measles, Spotty Bowtie, and his brother Dickie.
And from Scotland.
Oh, dear.
Mr. and Mrs. Mittens and their son, William Mittens.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. From Russia, Commissar and Mrs. Icklestocking. And their son, Serge Icklestocking.
But they came to the medical board.
They're very popular.
I remember them.
Mr. and Mrs. Oot and their daughter, Grace Oot.
Mr. and Mrs. Swede and their son,
Harry.
Mr. and Mrs. Oat Trousers. And their father from France, Pear Oat Trousers.
What about Mr. and Mrs.
Mrs. Rack and their daughter Anna. Mrs. Rack!
Oh, please
yourself.
Monsieur et Madame Esther and their complete family, Jack et their body son from Corsica, Cors et and little Gus et.
Mr. and Mrs. Stick the Board Stockings. And their daughter Ella Stick the Board Stockings.
And from Australia, Mr. and Mrs. Bootsfoot the Mender. And their son, Brian Bootsfoot.
Oh. Mr. and Mrs. Shoes and their Buddhist... their Buddhist daughter, Zen, Sybil Shoes.
By a strange coincidence, all the way from Africa, bearing the same name as earlier guests, Chief and Mrs. Strap, and their daughter, Deborah Strap.
And also from Africa, Mr. and Mrs. Devent, and their son, Cy Devent.
Well, at this point, ladies and gentlemen,
How are we doing? Do we need any points?
Yes. Yes, you're still lagging.
Are we?
Yes. Mr. and Mrs. Cockhat and their son, Billy Cockhat. One for the... Sorry about that.
This point, ladies and gentlemen.
Probably a friend of Mr. and Mrs. Leanshire. And their son, Teddy.
Join our Mr. and Mrs. Mingdress.
And their daughter Eve.
Mr. and Mrs. Peace and their fish cod. I'm putting up a bold front tonight.
And also, and their pig, Skin Gloves. And their car, Diggin.
We have to leave this exciting contest. For those of you who are still interested, the score will be announced during the 11 o'clock news. That's all.